It's good to see each of you this morning. It's a blessing to have this time to worship together and to sing songs of praise to God. I hope that you're not tired of my voice, adult class people. We read 67 verses this morning, and you're going to hear some more. So I'm sorry that you're having to hear my voice so much, but it's a blessing to see each of you this morning. If you're visiting with us, it's a blessing to have you here. It's a blessing for my parents to be here this morning. I always love when they get to come and visit with us, and for the encouragement that they bring. Here at Southside, we are so richly blessed that we have young people. I think a lot of us have been to congregations before where there's hardly any young people whatsoever, maybe none. And it's a blessing to have young people. It's a blessing to have children in the congregation. Likewise, we're thankful that we have men and women who are willing to teach them. We have many men and women, many of you, who are willing to take it upon themselves and to take your time and to go into those classrooms and to teach them. And I understand that very well, as far as it takes hours. It takes hours to prepare lessons that will be beneficial for children and for young people. And for you to do that is something that we can't thank you enough for. It's a wonderful thing. Our teachers are helping them to lay a foundation of faith in God, a foundation that is so important that we lay at a young age. It's critical that our children develop a love for God and a love for Jesus Christ. It's critical at a young age that our children develop a love for His Word, for the Bible. It's critical also that they develop a love for His church that they will one day be a part of, and that they will at one time, or maybe some of them will one day become deacons and elders or preachers. Some of you all have seen this picture. Ashley posted this on her Facebook a few weeks ago. And this picture is something that it might still be hanging in the back room back here in Jenna and Emma's class. And what you have here is Jenna made this drawing that says, "I love Bible class." When Emma saw that and it was hanging on the wall, she wanted to make one too. And so she made one that said, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus." And you see here, this is very true. This is how they feel. They're young, and they have this zeal and this enthusiasm for God's Word. They love Jesus. They love Bible class. And what it is, it's such a blessing to see children proclaiming so innocently and so truly their love for God, their love for His Word, their love for His Son, Jesus Christ. And what a blessing it is to see that. And may this never change. May this never change for them, for Jenna, and for Emma, for all the young people, for the elderly, for everyone in between. It should never change. It's not very often that we hear in a conversation between adults someone say, "I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love studying God's Word." We just don't say that enough. We lose sometimes, and we're tempted to lose the enthusiasm, the excitement that we should have for God's Word. We lose our zeal for loving Jesus as we should. We're tempted to forget that having even God's Word in our hand is a privilege. Being here this morning is a privilege. May our young people, our elderly, everyone in between, never lose this innocent, sincere love for God's Word, the Bible, and for Jesus Christ, His Son. So the question this morning is, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? There are many people in the world who proclaim to love Jesus. But let's look at what Jesus says. I want to know what Jesus desires. And you want to know what Jesus desires. And that's revealed to us, thankfully, through His Word. How is our love for the Lord shown? How is our love for Jesus demonstrated? How do I show love for Jesus Christ who died for me and died for you? Well, the first way that we love Jesus is we follow His commands. We follow His commandments. There are several passages. Most of our text all comes from the book of John. But John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus Himself said, "If you love me, what are you going to do? You will keep my commandments." So many in the world proclaim that they love Jesus. They say that. Do they keep His commandments? That is what Jesus requires. And that is what shows love to Jesus Christ. John chapter 14, beginning of verse 23, just a little bit later in that same chapter, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him." He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. There are many who say they love Jesus, but unfortunately they don't do this right here. They don't love his word. They don't love his commands. For the Father and the Son to dwell in us richly, we have to keep God's words. We have to keep the words of Jesus Christ. What does it mean if an individual doesn't keep the word of Jesus Christ and abide in it? It means you don't love him. It means you don't love him. In the eyes of Christ, he is looking for those who love him and will keep his word. John chapter 15, beginning in verse 9, it reads, "Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be made full and that your joy may be made full." Do you want to abide in the love of Christ? I think all of us this morning would say, yes, I want to abide in the love of Jesus Christ. Do you want to have your joy made full? Yes, we want to have our joy made full. We want to be full of joy. Christ says, keep my commandments. Obey me. That is the message that is so clear from God's word and from Jesus Christ's own mouth. John chapter 15 and verse 14. "You are my friends if you do what I command you." You are my friends if you do what I command you. On Wednesday, we referenced a passage from James chapter 2 and verse 23, where Abraham is called the friend of God. We talked about what a wonderful thing to be said about someone. I was talking to Neil about this a few weeks ago, and Neil said, Abraham is the only man that specifically is mentioned as being the friend of God. And that's right. You think about Abraham, he was called to be a friend of God. And why was he called a friend of God? Well, God commanded him to leave his country, leave his father's land. Did he go? He followed the commands of God. That showed love. He told him to go to a land in which he did not even know where he was going, to go to a land that would be shown to him by the Lord. Did he go? He followed God's commands. He was told in Genesis 22 to go offer his son Isaac as a burnt offering. His only son, the son he loved, his only begotten son. Did he follow the command of the Lord? He did. That is why he's a friend of God, isn't it? Because he followed his commands. Do you think Abraham loved God? Obviously. Obviously. And why? Because he followed the commands of God. So just as with Abraham, the question I need to ask myself, can I also be a friend of God? John 15, 14 says, yes. You can be a friend of God. I can be a friend of God. How is it done? The exact same way that Abraham did it. Abraham followed the commands of the Lord. I have to follow the commands of the Lord to be considered a friend of God. And all of us want that friendship. All of us want that love to be shown to the Lord, don't we? Another way that we love Jesus is by loving others. I love Jesus by loving others. John chapter 13, verse 34. "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Here in John chapter 13, Christ calls us to love as he loved. That alone is an amazing challenge to consider how loving Christ has been. How much love he has shown each of us. Love that was undeserved. But that is what he calls us to do to others. Is to love in such a way that he loved. We are called to sacrifice in so many ways to love others. It may be sacrificing our time, taking time out of our busy, hectic schedules to serve someone else. Maybe a sacrifice of money and finances to help someone else. It might be sacrificing the energy and the health that we have to take care of someone else. That's what Christ would do. That's what Christ has done. That's the love that he demonstrated. We must love as Christ loved. And then in John chapter 15, verses 12 through 13, "This is my commandment, that you love one another
just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. Again, we are commanded to love as Christ loved. It's the perfect example of love. And there's no greater example of love than for one to lay down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. We may not ever have the opportunity to give our physical lives for someone else and to show this greatest love or greater love. But we have ways that we can sacrifice ourselves. We have ways that we can offer ourselves. And when we consider the life of Christ, we realize that he never, ever did anything out of conceit. He never did anything out of selfishness. That he was always seeking to serve, seeking to show love. He was selfless in loving others, and we likewise are to be selfless. Also, one more point. From John chapter 13, the first text is up there. It says, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love or have love for one another." How will people know that I'm a Christian? In our world, how will people know that I'm a Christian? By loving others the way Christ loves. I'll be different if I love the way Christ loved and loves. I'll stand out. You'll stand out. And it is a lofty goal. It is trying to meet the expectation and the standard of perfection. But it is something that Christ is saying, you can love as I love. What a beautiful thing to consider. So far, how do we demonstrate the love that we should have for Jesus? We keep his commands. We love others also. We also love Jesus by loving his appearing. We desire to see Jesus. When we love someone, we make plans to see them. We have all experienced this. We all do this constantly. We have family. We have loved ones. We have friends. We mark our calendars. We make plans to see them. And we do that because we love them. Also, when we love someone, we look forward to seeing them. We're excited about it. When we told Elliot a day or two ago that his grandparents were coming this morning, he said, "Yay!" and yelled it out real big. "Yay!" Right? That excitement that you have because you're looking forward to seeing someone you love. Will you turn with me to John chapter 21? John chapter 21. As you read God's Word, there are instances in which you read something and you say, "Ah, I wish I could have been there to see that." You read about the parting of the Red Sea, maybe, and you say, "I wish I could have seen that with my own eyes. I have faith it happened, but what an amazing sight that would have been." You read about David defeating Goliath, and you say, "Wow, I wish I could have seen that with my own eyes. I believe it happened, but what an experience to have seen that." This is, I think, a text where I know when I read this, I wish I was there. And I think you will feel the same as we read this. John chapter 21, verse 1. "After these things, Jesus manifested himself to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee and the sons of Zebedee and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, 'I am going fishing.' They said to him, 'We will come with you also.' They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, 'Children, you do not have any fish, do you?' And they answered, 'No.' And he said to them, 'Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, you will find a catch.' So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, 'It is the Lord.' So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. Verse 9, so when they got out onto the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, 'Bring some of the fish, which you have now caught.' Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although they were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, 'Come and have breakfast.' None of the disciples ventured to question him, 'Who are you?' knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to him, and the fish likewise. Now this was the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. What an amazing recording here for us, and a faith builder for us to read. That the disciples here, after Jesus has been put to death, they go out to fish. They catch nothing all night. An individual on the shore, and they don't know that it's Jesus, calls out to them and says, "Have you caught any fish?" They say, "No." He tells them, "Cast on the right side of the boat." 153 fish are caught, large fish in a net. It's an amazing thing here. And I think as you read this, they would have thought a couple things here. The disciples are witnessing an amazing thing in that it's 153 fish they're catching after catching nothing all night. That's amazing. At this point also, they're probably recalling that the Lord has done this before with them. On the lake of Gennesaret, after a night of catching nothing, they pulled in so many fish in that instance that their nets were breaking. I think they're connecting that right there. And that's why John says to Peter, "It is the Lord." How does Peter react when he hears that this is the Lord? He puts on his outer garment because he's stripped for work, and he throws himself into the water to swim to Jesus. Do you think he wanted to see Jesus? No doubt. No doubt he wanted to see Jesus. He longed to see him. He desired to see the Lord. He wanted to be in his presence. The question we have to ask ourselves, are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? Are you looking forward to it? Those who love Jesus, love is appearing. Are you looking forward to seeing Jesus? Are you looking forward to eternity? Are you looking forward to spending time with him? I love Jesus by following him come what may. In the same chapter where we are right now, if you will look at me here at John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19, the next verses. It reads, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' And he said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep. Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wish. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go.' Now when he said this, he was signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, 'Follow me.'" What a powerful text to consider here. Jesus and Peter knew exactly why Jesus was saying, "Do you love me?" Jesus and Peter also both understood after that third time why he asked three times, the significance of the third time being asked. When Jesus spoke to Peter prior to his death, if you recall, Peter said that he would die for Jesus. And Jesus corrected him and said, "You'll die for me? You're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. That's what's going to happen, Peter." And we know that that happened. He actually would go on to deny him three times. And after that third time, we remember how Jesus looked at him. When Peter sees Jesus looking at him, he goes out and weeps bitterly. He wept bitterly. So three times Simon Peter denied the Lord, and three times Jesus asked, "Do you love me?" Scripture reveals to us that Peter was grieved because he asked three times, "Do you love me?" Imagine the guilt that Peter felt. Having denied the Lord three times, he was crucified. And now he is in the flesh right before him. And he's speaking with him, and Jesus is looking him in the eyes saying, "Do you love me?" Three times he asked him that question, "Do you love me?" Imagine the weight that he felt on his shoulders hearing this. Jesus tells Peter that if he loves him, he must serve his flock. If you love me, you'll tend my lambs. If you love me, you will shepherd my sheep. If you love me, you'll tend my sheep. Jesus is saying, if you love me, you will serve me. You will do what I require of you. You will serve my flock, serve my sheep. You'll care for them. You'll guide them. Christ also signified in verse 18 the death by which Peter would suffer. And how he would have to sacrifice his own life for the cause of Christ. Why did Christ reveal this? Why did Christ tell Peter by what kind of death he would have to glorify God? Verse 19 answers that. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Follow me. Jesus wants Peter's commitment. He wants his full 100% commitment to loving him, come what may. And he even reveals fully, you're going to have to die for me. You're going to have to go and do something you don't want to do, Peter. Follow me. Following Jesus, come what may. We must also love Jesus and follow him, come what may. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know if one day we would have to give our physical life for the cause of Christ. We don't know. We don't know what kind of trials and temptations may come where we would have to answer this question of, do I love Jesus in this situation or will I sway from it? But right now we must make a commitment that if we love Jesus Christ, we will follow him come what may. And when Jesus says, follow me, we will say, yes, Lord, I will. Regardless of what is required. This morning, we've looked at 4 points concerning the question, do you love Jesus? So the question is posed to each of us, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus by keeping his commands? Do you love Jesus by loving others? Do you love Jesus by loving his appearing? Are you looking forward and desiring to see him? Do you love Jesus by following him come what may? This morning, if you're not a Christian, make the decision to demonstrate your love for Jesus Christ. Follow his commandments. How interesting it is that this same Peter, who denied Jesus Christ 3 times, who was spoken to by Jesus saying, do you love me? Follow me, Peter, was then, in Acts chapter 32, proclaiming the first gospel sermon with great zeal. And one day, from secular records, we know that he did give his life for the cause of Christ. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, the commandment comes, repent and be baptized. Do you love Jesus? Have you repented of your sins and have you been baptized? From the scriptures you read this morning, if you have not repented of your sins, if you have not been baptized, you can say you love Jesus, but Jesus says, you do not love me. We have to follow his commands. If you are a Christian this morning and you're struggling with sin, you may be looking at some of the texts that we read and some of the scriptures that we read and you're saying, I need to repent. I have sin in my life. Now is the opportunity to do that. We are not promised any time after this. We have this time now to take care of this and to repent of our sins. And I'd also be looking at what we studied this morning saying, I need to love others more. I need to look forward to the appearing of Jesus Christ more. There's ways that we can grow. There's ways that we can improve in our love for the Lord. So if you're subject this morning to the Lord's invitation, please come forward as together we stand and sing.